I'm Dan Orlovsky. When I'm looking for safety, I always take the extra steps and listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions with it, second and goal from the 8, down 6, but on the move. Chris, working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Case in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions! That's it, packs the bag, starts the plane, this game is over! How big is that?
And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who wish they had as much FaceTime with Cooter as Matthew Stafford. Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 151. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit, and I am your dashing host, Chris. With me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How are you doing, my man?
And I've got a terrible headache today. I've been living that bachelor life again, and I played a little too hard last night.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, we'll go easy on you. In today's show, it ain't going to be easy. We're breaking down the draft. We'll be kicking some tires. We'll be blowing smoke screens, making our own picks. We're also going to bust out the draft party details. We're going to break down the newly released Lions schedule, and we got a whole lot more. It's a great show lined up for you. Case, you ready to go, my man?
Hang on a second, Chris.
Hey, has anyone seen my pants?
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, time for a couple of quick announcements. First off, the live draft party. We're going to talk about it until you show up. It's going to be Thursday, April 26th for the first round of the draft. You'll be there. Head to DetroitLionsPodcast.com or you can go to YouTube.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. That's where we're going to be. And it's like something you've never seen before. It's still casual, but it's next level. It's going to be next level. You guys are going to love it. If you're around the house, you need something to do, join us and enjoy our reactions to the picks throughout the draft. It's a great time every year. Make sure to check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
Mm-hmm. And of course, our very first donor, Mathis, gotta love him, and Brian B., big supporter from the band I Prevail. Check them out at iprevailband.com. They love it when you go there and check their stuff out. If you would like to join the Patreon crew and get access to some of that special content that we put out for them every now and again, head to patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link there. If you donate at least $1 a month, you'll be good to go and have access to all that fun stuff. And frankly, you can always donate more, but we appreciate all of those folks that have taken part. Great, great people who help support the show. Don't forget to give us a like on the Bookface, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and of course on the Twitter machine at DETLionsPodcast, at DETLionsPodcast. It is the very best place to see Case.
Swiping right.
Ooh, pants free, bachelor pants, swiping right. Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. Give us those 5-star reviews. We appreciate when you do that. It helps us out a great deal, and it helps other people find the show. Don't forget to give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or on the old Lions line. It's 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, the draft is coming. And there's a lot to talk about. The draft is, it's a pretty big thing. I mean, Riz, you make your whole career around it, right? This is your time of year. You're about to let one go.
I am so freaking excited that we're going to finally get a resolution to all the speculation. And I just love seeing the players, you know, get what they got, you know, who's going to go where. We finally find all this out. I love it. I don't sleep much this time of year. So if I get a little loopy, you know, you'll have to rope me back in. But I cannot wait. Next weekend, especially next Saturday, the final day of the draft is my personal favorite day of the year. I like it better than Christmas. I like it better than birthday, better than my anniversary now that we're beyond the time of having anniversary fun.
And now so, that your wife doesn't listen.
I can't wait.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because I think there's one thing that it's an opportunity for folks on Western Michigan. You're going to be at Big Drew and Jim's draft party at the – is it the Fowling Warehouse or is it Fowling?
It's Fowling Warehouse, and I have not been there yet. They have a video up on their Facebook page, which is Big Drew and Jim, for those of you who are not in West Michigan. And it's really cool. It's like a cross between cornhole and bowling and football. Like, put all those together with a lot of beer, and that's the place that we're going to be at. It looks like a whole lot of fun. I can't wait to get there personally. It's going to be, we're doing the live show from there from 3 to 6. So if anybody's in the Grand Rapids or Kalamazoo area or anywhere in between, Lansing, come on over. It'll be fun. They have a tournament going after that. We're going to have, we actually have sponsored food and drink, which everybody will want to participate in. It's going to be a really good time. I'll be there all night. I'm set up where I'm going to be working. I will be covering the draft for Browns and Texans Wire, although the first night won't be Texans because they don't pick till Saturday.
But you got extra Browns picks to deal with.
Yes, and they're bound to trade with one another at some point too. Yeah. But I will definitely be there focused on Lions stuff. Come on up and say hi. I'm conspicuous, as Chris can attest.
You're so short, no one's going to find you.
Really easy to talk with. it'll be a lot of fun.
And make sure while you're there, anyone that's listening to this, when you go there, make sure to tell Big Drew or Jim, either one of them, say, you guys better start listening to the Detroit Lions podcast. They got all your good info that you want. Just let them know that we sent you. So they can get the love they deserve.
Please do. That's good for all of us.
Yeah. For sure. All right. So that's good. And that's, for folks on Western Michigan, right? Or the area that can make it. That's a great way to go. Don't forget, we've got our draft party as well for the folks that maybe have to work or at home and not going out or just don't want to chance it while they're having those, frosty beverages, right? So draft time is here. Everybody's excited. Riz is, I mean, so let me ask you about this Fowling Warehouse place. You're going there, you're kind of representing them. Of course, you always a little bit represent us where you're doing this stuff, but is there a dress code? Will you be there with pants on? Because this is it. This is where, I mean, I know if you were anywhere at like home, just about anywhere else, you'd be pants free. Cause this is it, man. This is where it all comes down, right?
I'm really hoping that the weather is warm enough that I can wear basketball shorts. That's my goal.
Ooh,
although I was told the Fowling, it is bowling pins that will be flying. And I was told that you might want leg protection because they can't hit you in the shin and that can really hurt.
Are they going to be your church athletic shorts? Because I feel like you're going to be overdressed, but that's just me. All right. Let's talk about the draft. First off, for those that don't know or that are new to the draft, it is next Thursday, the 26th through Saturday. On Thursday, it starts at 8 p.m., as does our draft party. And they go through the full first round of the draft, and we'll be live covering every inch of the way. After the Thursday round one on Friday, they will do rounds 2 and 3. And then on Saturday, it's rounds 4 through 7. And then they scurry for the undrafted free agents. And that's actually a lot of fun watching the UDFAs get picked up and where they go and all the play and movement that happens after that. While all that goes down, there's conference calls going on. Lions.com will have those. We'll also try to pick some of those up along the way, see if we can get the Lions conference call during the draft and see if we can get some of that audio up for you. It's a couple of days of football fun when there's not a whole lot other than speculation in the land of football. And it's very, very exciting. So if you're not familiar with the draft, that's your primer. Let's get right into this now. Riz, there's a whole universe of options available for the Lions to pick. And actually, before we get into that, I just want to say hi to Case because he hasn't been able to say anything lately.
Hi.
Okay. Riz, the whole universe of options available to the Lions. Let's talk about what we have from the team as far as needs and who might fill those needs in this kind of first round.
Yeah. So the Lions are picking at number 20. And if you look at the roster, and you have to look because this is what Bob Quinn does. He's not looking at just what they need right now. He's looking what they might need next offseason and going into the 2020 season. That's what this draft is all about. This is not a reactive drafting organization the way that Matt Millen was, the way that the Cincinnati Bengals happen to be, the way that bad teams are. You might not see the most pressing need, but the most pressing needs for the team, they need a starting left guard. That guy is not on the roster unless it's Joe Dahl. Let's hope it's not Joe Dahl. They need pass rush, and I'm reluctant to assign a specific position to that because I think they need it at both levels. They need a defensive tackle who can get up the field. They need an edge rusher. They need Ziggy's potential likely replacement. They could use a linebacker who could blitz. I do think they have that guy already, but it wouldn't hurt to have another one into the fray. So defensive front seven with the emphasis being on going to get the quarterback is a big need. They do need a tight end at some point. It will not be in the first round. I've been guaranteed that by somebody in Allen Park. So I'm not worried about that, but they do need one. They do need a running back, preferably a guy who runs forward as soon as he gets the ball and runs pretty fast with the ball between the tackles. There's a whole lot of guys that fit that bill. And we will certainly be looking at least one running back change, if not more, after this coming weekend, which makes me very happy. They could use another wide receiver, especially with Golden Tate entering a contract year. He, based on some of the salaries that are out there, he's going to be tough to keep if he wants market value in Detroit.
Yep.
They need Glover Quinn's eventual replacement. He's 32 years old. He's still awesome, but you got to look at some point down the road. I think that's a day two thing or a day three thing, so I'm not really worried about it in the first round. So you're looking primarily first round, pass rush, left guard, maybe running back, maybe an off-the-ball linebacker if they think that they can move one of the other linebackers to being the blitzing guy. I think that's where you're looking at 20.
So when you talk about an edge rush guy, we're looking like a guy like Ziggy was, or was that what he kind of flashed when he was younger, that speed, that kind of balls out play, right?
Absolutely. Oh, balls out. Can I just get a quick story on balls? Because this happened. So I went back to college this past weekend, back to Ohio U. We had a fraternity reunion. And one of my brothers, who was not there, but his roommate was, we wound up talking about this. And the ball story, it's been in my head all day. So can I tell this?
Hey, pants free. Bring it, baby.
So this guy lived in my freshman dorm as well. He was my neighbor in my freshman dorm. This is before we were fraternity brothers, and he like frantically knocked on my door one day. He's like, dude, you got to come over and check this out. I'm like, okay. His name's Troy. We called him T-Roy. Like, what's up, T-Roy? It's like, check this out. I got some baby piranhas. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. All right. You know, we're not supposed to have pets, but he's like, check out what they can do. So he like drops trowel and starts teabagging his baby piranhas in the fish tank. They're like coming up and nibbling on his hairy sack.
Jesus.
And he's like, dude, this is the greatest thing ever. I'm like, dude, first of all, put your fucking pants on. Second, I am not having a fish bite my balls.
Wow.
So we had one of the many fun stories of fraternity weekend. This weekend was reliving the legend of T-Roy and his
good
baby.
Good job, T-Roy.
T-Roy and his teabag. That's terrible.
T-Roy might have to be a new meme for the show. Anytime somebody does something ridiculous, there goes T-Roy.
Do not try that at home, fellow listeners.
Oh, God, no. I'm
glad you said that. I would have otherwise.
Yeah. Case is put on the tempted peanut butter.
T-Roy 2.0.
Oh, man. Okay, so, yeah, that's some good possibilities. So running backs, you think, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about running back in the first. Do you think that's a possibility for this team?
I don't think so, quite honestly. And wait, it seems like the preponderance of most people, what they want is they want Darius Geis. I don't see it being Geis if they do take a running back in the first round. B, I don't think they're taking a running back in the first round. And there was something that Bob Quinn said in his press conference, which was, when was that, Wednesday or Thursday? He did a press conference, and he mentioned that somebody asked him, and I don't remember the exact question, but it was about the running back class and when they would address it. And he specifically said, I need to see who's available in rounds 2, 3, and 4. And if there's ever a tell for Bob Quinn, that would probably be it, that he's looking rounds 2, 3, and 4 for the running backs, which, by the way, happens to be the sweet spot for where the running backs are in this draft.
Yeah.
And there's a ton of them. So I think if we can believe anything, that maybe he slipped up a little bit, and absolutely he could be the calculating motherfucker that could say, you know, yeah, I'm throwing all you people off and I'm taking Sony Michel at 20. Wouldn't stun me, but I really think it's going to be Friday night is when we get a running back in town.
The Quinn bot doesn't make mistakes. it's funny because there's kind of, I have two things in case you're going to have to shut me up here and talk over me at some point. But one of the things, you know who Darius Geis reminds me of? And let me explain why when I say it, but it's Sammy Watkins. And I mean, in the context of the draft, so many people are in love with him, right? They just want Darius Geis to land here like they did with Sammy. And then he went to somebody else instead before it even got to us. And then he wound up not being what everybody thought he was. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to Geis, but boy, just the way this whole thing is set up right now with him, it feels like a very similar story is about to unfold in front of us as far as who gets him, where he lands, and all that kind of stuff, and how much people really, really love him. That being said, you know, again, the Quinn bot, this is all about smoke screens. And starting like about a week and a half ago, I quit believing anything that any GM said. I mean, they could have told me the sun was going to rise the next morning. I would have said, oh, that's it. World's over. Because I just don't believe anything these guys say, particularly around this time of year. It's all now. It's all politics. It's all maneuvering. It's all positioning. And it's all smoke screens. That's my thinking. Case, tell me I'm an idiot.
No. You're an idiot, but I don't necessarily think you're wrong now.
That's 100% fair. That's 100% fair. Okay, so yeah, but you're saying, Riz, that more folks than just Bob Quinn are talking that it's not a first round running back for this team.
Right. That everything that I had heard and I relate a lot back to my experience going down to Indianapolis at the Combine. Which tends to be the last time that most of these people will tell you the truth. And
that was the last time you were right.
That could be. Honest to God, I wrote a draft of my final mock draft for Real GM, which will be up next Wednesday afternoon. I wrote it there because that more often than not, the changes I make after that are where I screw up. And I did not have Darius Geis anywhere near number 20. I think he's going to fall a little bit. Really? He's one of those guys that I think the fans like more than the NFL does. And your comparison of Sammy Watkins is very interesting because they sort of have the same issue in that one of the reasons why Geis could fall is that he has a little bit of a reputation for not being a guy who plays well when he's not 100%. And that is absolutely Sammy Watkins' biggest problem. And the fact that Watkins can't ever get to 100% is why two teams have already given up on him and why a third will shortly. That's just, Geis is, I don't believe any of the off-field crap. I think that's somebody who's completely lost their mind. I've never heard of anybody who knows Darius Geis say a bad thing about him. And I won't be the first one to do that or the second one to do that either. Cause I think the guy who says it is just flat out wrong, but I don't think that he is the kind of guy that would fit with what the Detroit Lions are looking for. And I'm not trying to be coy or coded with that. I just don't think that he fits the personality of the team. And that's my take on it.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. All right. Well, yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, do you think there's we're going to have any gas mask bongs this year? Who's your prime candidate for a gas mask bong?
Okay, so and this was brought up to me by an agent friend, Greg Linton, Trip Linton on Agent Linton on Twitter. The over under line, and you can bet on these things, and please do because that's an easy way to make money on Lamar Jackson going over or under the 17th pick in the draft at 17.5. The high the high money line was on the under, which means that, you know, they expected that. It went from being, he was, what was it? It was negative 175, minus 175 under. It is now minus 250 on the over. So that means somebody learned something about Lamar Jackson. I have no clue what it is, but if you're looking for a guy that you know, something weird could come out this week, that's one place to look. Those people are not in the business of losing money. So listen to what they say. And if you want a good idea for, if you're like doing a mock draft at home and you're looking for player ranges, the odds makers are really, really good at this. Other than like one or two exceptions every year, they're usually within one or two picks on all these guys. So pay attention to what they have out there.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. I like
mock draft tip right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the tip.
Well, speaking of just the tip, let's start doing our own picks. And Case, why don't you kick off? We're going to say first round Lions at number 20. We're not going to take any trading options or anything else into play. We're going to say we're picking at 20. Who do you got for us?
Well, this year is tough. Last year at this time, I think all three of us said that we thought they were going to take Jared Davis.
We did.
Because, yeah, I mean, we absolutely were in dire need of that linebacker, and we all thought that they would go the more conservative route with Davis instead of what's his face?
Who got arrested? Reuben Foster.
Thank you. This year is not that easy because there's lots of needs, but there isn't one like truly desperate need that rises well above all the rest. So with that in mind, I agree. I don't think they're going to take Darius Geis. I think that if you look at the history of everything Bob Quinn has done, I just don't see it as a likely thing. I would say that Hernandez, the left guard, is a much higher likelihood.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to go with him, though. I think Matt Patricia, being in his first year here, is going to want to fix the defense above all else. So I think with that in mind, I don't think they're going to go with Hernandez. I think they're more likely to try to aim for maybe Billy Price in the second or something like that. But I do. So like I say, I do think it's defense. And there's a couple guys, Vita Vey and Harold Landry, who I think if either of those guys were there, that they would probably take. I don't think either of those guys will be there. So it narrows down to like three or four guys for me. I think it's Taven Bryan, Daron Payne, Marcus Davenport, maybe Leighton Vander Esch, although I'm going to leave him aside because I don't think they're going to go with another linebacker unless it's a edge pressure guy. And Leighton is an inside linebacker, although he might immediately give us a very good linebacking core as opposed to one that has a lot of question marks in it. But I think ultimately with an eye on conservatism and I think I'm saying Daron Payne.
Interesting. Okay. I like your reasoning. I like your thinking. Well supported. Good job there, Case. All right, Riz, let's move on to you. Who's your guy? And now we started this before, and I just got to touch base. You do have a mock draft up right now at Draft Breakdown, and it's the WWJD mock breakdown. What would Jeff do?
I think I left off the guy that Jeff actually has picked for us.
Well, they're not taking him.
Okay.
Not in the first round anyways.
Oops. Okay. So go ahead, Riz. Go ahead and tell us, where's your pick? What do you think how's this going to break down for the Lions in round one at number 20?
The guy I picked was Nathan Shepard, the defensive tackle from Fort Hays State. You can read the whole thing at Real GM. It went up yesterday, and most Lions fans hate my picks, and I'm okay with that. I don't think they're not intended to be a prediction of what's actually going to happen. They're a prediction of what I would do. And honest to God, I screwed myself out of a couple of picks that I would have really liked, you know, you can't accuse me of being a homer on that one.
No.
And Packers fans hate it worse, if that's any consolation for what gave them. I think Ace did a pretty good job of listing the guys who were potential.
I missed there. Hurst, but I don't think they're going to take him either due to the heart thing.
I don't think that it's going to be the heart thing. I think he's an odd size too. I'll say as well. He's 6'1". He's got short arms. He's 290 pounds. He plays in the 280s. That's a tough sell for the NFL. I know he was really good at college. I went to a bunch of Michigan games. I really like him. But if you're not lightning quick like Aaron Donald or Geno Atkins at that size, the NFL has a tough time seeing you, and he is not those guys. He's yep. close, but he's not them. And I think the Lions feel the same way about that. Yep. To harken back to the combine, when he got dinged there for the heart thing, one of the Lions beat writers said to me, "Well, that seals that for sure." And it's like with the insinuation that they weren't really looking at him anyways.
Right.
So. Yep. So, yeah, so there's that one. Davenport is interesting. I will say this. Mm-hmm. I do think if Harold Landry is there, he is the pick.
Yeah.
And I think it might be more likely than we all think that he's there.
Nice.
I do think you're going to see five quarterbacks before the Lions pick. I think you're going to see Bradley Chubb off the board. Saquon Barkley will be off the board. I think Mike McGlinchey is gone for sure. I think Roquan Smith, I think Leighton Vander Esch will be gone for sure. Quentin Nelson will be gone. So you're narrowing down the pool of players. One of the issues is that the Dallas Cowboys happen to have about the same needs as the Lions, and they pick one before us.
Right.
Yes.
So that gums things up. I'm scared as hell that they're going to take Taven Bryant. I don't think he's a third-round talent. I wouldn't take him.
Wow, that's a hot take right there.
Yeah, I'm kind of I have a very similar feeling. Like if they're not taking Payne, I think they're probably taking Bryant, and I'm not super happy about it. But
I'm actually with Case on this. If Landry is gone, I do lean towards Daron Payne, and I did this on the Lockdown Draft podcast the other day with my friend John Ledyard, and he was the pick. And my explanation then, I'll say it again. I think the Lions and a lot in the NFL think that Daron Payne will be a better pass rusher in the NFL than he was at Alabama, because there he wasn't asked to rush the passer. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who's got a great first step. His first step is every bit as good as Maurice Hurst. The problem was that he wasn't asked to follow through on it a lot.
Right.
They play that conservative style. He's also played in a 3-4 front, which helps. I think he's a guy who can get you 4 to 5 sacks, maybe 6 sacks, maybe one career year where he gets 8.5. And that's better than anybody that they've got right now on the inside. Yep. He knows how to play next to A'shaun Robinson. He knows how to play in front of linebackers who blitz. That I think those things are going to be a big selling point for Daron Payne. His ceiling is not as high as Davenport, but I do think that and there's all the connections with Coach coming from Alabama to UTSA, where he had Davenport for a year. I can see them taking Davenport, but I think if that's a choice between the two, I do believe that they would take Daron Payne over Marcus Davenport.
And I mean, look, of all the college programs, if you're gonna have one or call one that's close to putting out pro ready players, Alabama's a good one to point to. So yeah, Daron Payne is an excellent. I mean, you're convincing me. You're making me feel better that if my guy isn't picked, that and we do pick Payne, that will be okay. Everything will be okay. You're making me feel good here, Payne is not my guy. And I'm going to take a little bit of a different kind of approach to this than you guys did. And, you know, the part of the conversation was that, well, you know, Patricia, he's a defensive guy. They're going to go with that. Well, one of the things that got the Patriots to the Super Bowl was Patricia's ability to work with lesser talent and make them perform. And I think that they're going to say Matthew Stafford had one of the highest lost fumble rates, I believe, last year. Took a lot of hits last year and had a line and no running game to work with. And if I'm a coach who's that good on defense, how about I focus on that and try to give good tools to the offensive side of the ball and to my key player, Matthew Stafford, and try to generate a running game. And I think Will Hernandez is the guy that's going to help that. A nasty guard fills that need, gets you some good stuff going up on that line, and hopefully keeping Mr. Stafford okay, and also keeping getting your run game that push that it needs to get your guys to the line. And then that leaves Patricia to work with the guys he has in the defense, like he's done with some pretty poor squads and make them perform at a level that they don't. So that's, like I said, it's a little contrarian to what you guys are thinking, but I think you know, it's almost an economics approach. Your comparative advantages, you use your coach to work on the defense, and then you buy yourself an offensive lineman.
My mind would not be blown at all if that's the pick.
Yep. All right. So we're not freaking anybody out here, but we've got our own reasons. So I guess that's good enough. Let's talk about the draft again. Let's get a little bit more in depth on the draft party. First thing I want to do is thank some people that are helping us get ready for it. Vitas Rockus, an old friend of the show. He was in when we first started. Do you remember that name, Case? He was the guy that won the Twitter banner contest for us when we were first trying to come up with
that. Yeah, I remember that.
He was awesome. Trevor, Punk Rock and Trev from the subreddit, the mod who does all the layout stuff and the banners and all that. He's helping us with some stuff. Nate Cheatham is busting his butt. And so is Kurt. Nate edits and Kurt writes for us on the website. They are absolutely killing it and helping us out with this draft party. So look, we're going to have, it looks like this production is going to take about 8 people to pull off live. So I tell you, it's like something you've never seen before. It's going to be something special. And it's also going to be fun because we're pulling this off. I think the best part about the draft party is my plane touches down at 6 p.m. On draft day, and I have to be at the house ready to broadcast at 8. So we'll see how this comes together. It's going to be a tight little jog. But first round next Thursday at 8 p.m. We'll probably start. We're going to try to start about 15 minutes early and get things kicking. We'll just kind of do a soft start, and then right around 8 o'clock, we'll get the hard open and all that stuff going. So a lot of really, really good stuff. If you're going to be at home, you're running around in the car, whatever, it'll be broadcast via YouTube Live, and join us for the draft party. We'll take your calls. We'll talk about all the picks along the way. If there's any gas mask bongs, we'll have those kinds of riots. And
I'll have one on.
Yeah, though there's also going to be a... Jeff will be there. Rizin will be there without being there. And I guess I'll leave it like that. He will.
Yes.
He will be able
My
to
essence
weigh in.
Essence will be there.
Yes. Essence of Jeff. WWJD. he'll weigh in on every pick. So it's pretty cool. I think we've got a really, really great setup, and I think you guys will really enjoy the party. So 8 p.m. Thursday, we're doing it for just the first round. So join us live as we go through the Detroit Lions podcast draft party. Is this our third annual or is this our fourth one? I think this is our third one, right?
I don't remember.
We've been doing this so long, it all runs together anymore. The only thing that stands out is that gas mask. It's on my Christmas list every year, and it never shows up. So I don't know. Whatever. All right. So let's talk about some relatively late breaking news yesterday. This is the stuff. I mean, we talk about the draft being important to Riz. But I think his favorite, and I think the time of year, the point in the year that really solidifies his thinking, makes him really bring it home, is when they release the regular season schedule. This really does it, Jeff. I mean, your excitement is off the charts, right?
Yeah, I got in a little trouble over that one.
That was a great tweet. I saw that. I was like, "Oh, that's going to stay."
The problem was I tweeted it without the context that was going on in my head behind it. and Packers fans, for whatever reason, really hated it. So that makes it a much better tweet the end.
Anytime.
But my animosity was directed towards the NFL and NFL Network for breaking into regular coverage to announce that there was going to be a schedule release and then having a 3-hour primetime special last night on Thursday night for the announcement. They had a 3-hour special today breaking down the schedule. It's the freaking schedule. We already knew every home and every road opponent for every team.
But we didn't know what network they were going to be on.
Oh,
you've got to get your TV set. Yeah, you got to get your Hulu or your Roku or DirecTV set up. You know, there's a lot to this, Riz.
I did quickly point this out. If you actually go to the games or are one of those people that likes to plan a road trip around, you know, going to a game, then you're perfectly entitled to be excited. But if you're somebody who doesn't go to games, and based on what all the mass media tells me, nobody goes to games anymore, then I don't know why the hell you care, honestly. Yeah. I really don't.
Yeah.
Not to the extent that you would devote 6 hours of your life in a 12-hour period towards all things NFL schedule.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I think. I think after Thanksgiving, the five games after Thanksgiving are a brutal run. There's only one, or there's two home games, but one of them is against the Rams with Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald, which is another reason why I think that Hernandez is a good pick for us. But after we likely sustain some sort of stomping injury at home, then we go away to the West Coast for the Cardinals, away to the East Coast to the Bills, to the freezing.
Where we hope there's no snow.
Right. Then back home to play the Vikings, who are bound to be a tough team. And then to Lambeau. And so Mike Rothstein, the guy who takes so much shit, most of it well-deserved, is he said, you know, people that are complaining about the Lions having to go to Lambeau again to play the last game of this season against the Green Bay, remember, they came and played their last game season in Detroit twice. And I'm like, pound sand, man. Playing the last game in the end of December in a dome away is a hell of a lot better than playing away in the likes of Lambeau with all the freaking moose and other caribou and reindeer shitting all over the place. It's a completely different ball of wax. It's not even a comparable thing, but that end of the season schedule really looks like a gauntlet.
They didn't do us any favors this year, in terms of the schedule. They did last year. We really had a lot of things go favorably for us. I think we might've only played one team coming off a bye last year. And the way we had our, you know, bye right in the middle of the year, which is the best time to have it, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And we got the Packers at home week 17, for example. I think they did us a lot of favors theoretically last year, and we weren't able to capitalize. This year, not so much. Yeah. I think we play two teams coming off their bye. We also get one team, coming off a long stretch after a Thursday night game. I don't remember what team it was. It might be the Cowboys. So, I mean, you've got that stuff you do. Like I hate going to Buffalo and I hate going to Green Bay in December.
Yeah.
There's likely to be inclement weather and just the cold.
So. You're going to Buffalo from the desert in Arizona, right? I mean, yeah. Those are two significant. That's a huge long flight after making the West Coast flight. And then it's freezing ass cold. It's just the swings in temperature. I think that's no good. And then most of our division games are packed at the end of the year as well, which is interesting. I guess it's more.
Well, that's usually normal.
But. Yeah. I mean, we had a couple of them early last year, which was we enjoyed playing the Packers early, right? Because they're never quite up to the Packers level, typical level early. Things are a little bit more wild cardy because they don't really play that hard in the preseason, right? It takes a couple of weeks before they really find out what teams are what. So it's I don't know. I mean, opening against the Jets and then going to the West Coast. I was worried at first. I thought the opening part of the schedule, we did Monday night against the Jets, and then we have a short week for week two away to go to the West Coast again. And then I thought the Patriots game was on Thursday night. I don't know how I missed that at first. And I was like, holy crap, we're flying back from the West Coast to a Thursday night on another short week. What are you talking about? But no, it's a Sunday night game. So that's at least a little bit of a break on that one. But this is definitely, I think they say it is tied with the Saints for the second most difficult schedule in the league.
Which obviously things will change. I mean, that's based on last year's records. So obviously things will change.
Roll that out the freaking window.
Right. And now, I mean, there's probably a correlation. I mean, you've got most teams who will probably finish within three wins of where they did the last year. You're obviously going to have a handful that have, you know, much wilder swings. So I think when all is said and done, I'd be surprised if we have an easier than average schedule. But there will be some significant changes. So,
yeah, nothing in my mind changed from looking at the schedule, from how many wins I had them getting in my head to what I have them at now. So
It already looked like a tough, you know, a schedule packed with really tough teams. So it still does.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely does with that. All right. So with that in mind, and you guys say you haven't changed. Let's talk about it. What are you predicting now that you see the schedule and it's changed the whole calculus of the season? What are you guys seeing for record?
I'm going to blow everyone's mind when I say I think we'll be 8-8.
Another fence post. Peyton and Brown. All right, Riz, how about you? I mean, now, you know, you see that end of the year gauntlet, you know what's going on. Of course, you're getting worried. It's changed everything. Super Bowl champions or just NFC champions?
I got 9-7, going 6-2 on the road, 3-5 at home.
Ooh, wow. That's interesting.
Let me say this, though. The Packers, Cardinals, and Bills are three of the four worst teams on the schedule, and they face those at the end of the year. I'll make that prediction right now that those are three of the four worst teams they play.
Yeah.
You were on this Packers suck thing, huh?
I am riding that until they ram my ass and prove me wrong.
Oh, boy. Okay. We will have video, ladies and gentlemen.
As I've said before, if they are more than if they win more than four games, Aaron Rodgers is unquestionably the MVP, because that roster before the draft is one of the five worst in the NFL, aside from him.
Wow.
That's I am hoping beyond hope that you're right.
That's me too.
All right. All right. That'll wrap us up for this week. Really quick, want to let you guys know before you run, you can support the show in a great way using Amazon, Fanatics, or SeatGeek from the website. Also, we have a great new sponsor, Under Armour. Under Armour, guys, you get your shirts, you get all your athletic gear, your socks, your shorts, the whole deal. I mean, those are the athletic shorts that that Riz was trying to take off to get at the Piranha. Let's be honest.
Honest to God, I am wearing underwear. Under Armour underwear and Under Armour basketball shorts as we speak.
There you go. I am doing the same. Under Armour, man, they're a show sponsor. They've given us a $75 gift card to give away, and we're gonna start that on the live draft party show. So don't miss that. So also, in the meantime, you need to get your Under Armour stuff. You want to get a seat at a concert or a theater or a sporting event, you want to get some Lions gear, or you want to shop for anything else, come to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Use that shop link. You got Amazon, Fanatics, SeatGeek. There's a couple Under Armour click spots on there as well you can use, and get your stuff. It doesn't cost you anything more, and it's a great way to support the show because they give us a little kickback every time you use that link to pick something up. And we'll get going on this gift card from Under Armour. Let them know. Go spend some money with them. Let them know you love us, because they will continue to grow this relationship if you guys help us. All right? All right. On that, we're going to end the show. Remember, we're looking for your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit to give us your feedback and let us know what you think we're doing well and what case is messing up. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Also on Facebook, you're out there, you want to get all social, you want to get socialified, we're on the book face, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and on the Twitter Cheesemaker @DET Lions Podcast. Thank you to all the new followers. You're hanging out with Case
in the Pants Free Lounge.
All right. Give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. That's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Or call us on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-3354-667. And be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com to subscribe to the show. All three of us are going to come in your little box automatically. Who would want anything less? Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
Hey, Dean Blandino here, and I can tell you unequivocally, that call was 100% wrong.
Well, I'll get into Cooter later.